Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and it is Thursday morning. So we are talking about knowing God, developing that intimate, supernatural relationship with Him. And we've had a couple weeks off from knowing God due to the holidays. So we're going to go ahead and just do a really quick review and then just dive right back in to our series. When we talk about physical manifestations, just a quick review that there's three realms of reality. There's the spiritual realm, the supernatural realm, and the natural realm. And when we're talking about the spiritual realm, we understand that because we have been born again as spirit beings, we are already in perfect communication with God, spiritually speaking. So we don't need to grow spiritually or work on hearing Him spiritually. Our problem is our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. And we have that gap, that hindrance, those hindrances and obstacles between our soul and our spirit. And that's the focus. That's where we are learning to overcome our enemies and depend on God. So when we're talking about physical, the way the Lord makes Himself known to us on the physical level, what we're doing is we're talking about the way He reveals Himself to our physical senses. Just as there are three realms of reality, you are also three-parted, spirit, soul, and body. And for each one of those realms, you have senses that communicate with that realm. So spiritually, you communicate with God spiritually, in the spirit realm. In the supernatural realm, you communicate with God and with the supernatural realm and with the natural realm with your supernatural senses. Now, also spiritually, with your spiritual senses, you communicate with the supernatural realm and the natural realm. And naturally, you communicate with God and with the natural realm and with the supernatural realm with your natural senses. That's ideally speaking. That all our senses are fully united with our spiritual senses, and they are all available to us as a spirit being. Now, because we have for so long lived separated from our living spirit, and we've just been dead in spirit, we've had to learn to depend on our supernatural senses and our natural senses. An example of our supernatural senses is deja vu and psychic experiences and things like that, versus our natural senses, which are sight, smell, hearing, touch, and taste. Now that we are a spirit being, we are learning to more and more use our spiritual senses. And we are allowing God to dictate and reveal Himself in whatever way He chooses. And part of the way He chooses to do that is by quickening our natural senses and quickening our soulical senses. In other words, making them sensitive to what's going on and what He wants to reveal. One thing we want to be aware of is that the means of communication, how he gets our attention, is different than the message. If God decided to send an army of angels and part the heavens and shake the ground and give you a 3-day experience in the heavenly places and bring you throughout time, and then the sum of it is that he wants you to know you're on the right track. That's his choice. We don't read into his means of communicating the importance or the complexity of what he is trying to communicate to us. Likewise, the opposite is true. He can give us a simple piece of information or revelation and give us the complex understanding or perception that may take the rest of our lives to understand and explain. I love the example where the I believe it was Zechariah, could be wrong, saw a candlestick with, I believe it's olive trees on two sides. And the angel asked him, what does this mean? And he couldn't say. He said, I don't know. How could I? How could I know? And the angel almost, you know, like, well, of course, you know, it's clear as the nose on your face. Is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And there's no way you can get that out of that symbol, out of that vision, that candlestick and the things he saw. We don't want to rely on our senses. We want to rely on God. But we want our senses to be available to God. Okay, let me repeat that. Our goal of training our senses is not so that we can rely on them more, but so that they can be available to God. Every part of us, we want every part of us, spirit, soul, and body, every aspect of our physical being, every aspect of our soulical being, we want to be available to God. That's his desire, so we're working on the same page with him. Spiritually, you're already there. So you're 1/3 of the way there. And we're working on the rest. And that's his time, too, how much he wants to accomplish during your life here on this earth, that's his job to decide as well. It's not a contest. It's a process. Enjoy the ride. This is part of our mentality. You know, we hear about those who involved in ministry that are just going to, you know, burn themselves out for Jesus. God's not asking us to do that. God's asking us to enter into his rest. Not our own, not laziness, but his rest. And you know that when you're in him, whatever it is you're doing is at rest. Because it's not out of your own strength. Your own self-effort. Yeah, you're putting in the hours and the effort and the energy and the whatever's necessary. But it's not out of your own self-strength. It's out of dependence on him. So we've been talking about the physical manifestations of God, how he makes himself real and known to us, to our physical senses, sight, hearing, taste, touch, and smell. And again, the reason he's doing that is not to draw attention to those senses, but so that they will be available to him, and that as he does that, we don't overreact or misinterpret. We take those experiences back to him. I think there's so much of a tendency in churchiosity, in Christianity today, especially here in the more developed nations, that God's movements, we are constricted and restricted to knowing God according to movements, to revivals, or what our particular group or church is experiencing. And we have so many wonderful examples in the scriptures and hopefully in our own lives where that's just not true, where he deals with each one of us on an individual basis, that when we set our hearts to know him, he responds. Doesn't matter what else is going on in your church, in your family, you know, whether there's a revival going on, whatever that means, just he wants to respond to us wanting him. And when we allow him to be and do whatever he wants, when we give him that freedom to move on our behalf, in us and through us, that's when we are entering into that rest and cooperating with him. He does his deep work in us. And whatever else he's doing is really inconsequential. We don't need to worry about his reputation or about ours. You know, if you've got a reputation in whatever, you know, capacity, that's all about yourself. That's all about who are you trying to protect? Who are you trying to portray? So when we are so concerned about knowing God that we are not allowing him into certain areas of our lives, we are protecting ourselves. We are protecting our own good name and not necessarily being willing to take his. When we look back at some of the examples of the prophets in the Old Testament, and people want to go, oh yeah, let's go, you know, why don't those things happen today? You think about one of the prophets had to marry a prostitute and then lay around for years naked in the street, first on one side and then on the other side, as a testimony against Israel or Judah of the judgment that was to come, giving them an opportunity to repent. Now, for us, if someone shows up to speak and they're not, you know, perfectly attired according to our standards, we don't even let them in the door. Or we reject their message because of their appearance, because they aren't speaking the way we want them to. They don't sound good. Or they don't carry the credentials we think they should. So we are having our ears tuned, solically and naturally. And that's where we left off, was having our physical ears tuned and sometimes cleaned out. We had talked about seeing things with our natural eyes, sometimes things that are very subtle, just a flash of light or a shadow that moves, sometimes seeing, you know, things appear or disappear. And again, the point is not the thing, but getting our attention. And the same way with hearing, whether we talked about knocking and footsteps and, you know, hearing our name called. And what do we do with that? It's not, oh, is that cool? God's calling my name. No, it's, Lord, is that you? What do you want? It's responding. It's paying attention and responding. So the Lord is sharpening our senses so that we're able to distinguish how sometimes he is communicating, whether it's something personal, whether it's something he, you know, in general. There are times, you know, we hear stories of those in the military that were able to save their entire, you know, troop or squad because they heard something funny. Nobody else heard it, but they would hear something funny and they'd stop in their tracks. And because they were alerted, nobody else heard anything, but they heard something, and they were alerted and to find out that the area that they were moving into was booby-trapped. Things like that, and that happens to each one of us. There's, you know, the story of the gentleman when that bridge collapsed. He was getting ready to drive over the bridge, and he saw something just in his rearview mirror, and it made him stop. It scared him. And one other car, everybody else was going around him, and he didn't know what he saw. He just knew whatever it was, he needed to stop. And, you know, he didn't know whether there was something wrong with his car, and he was reacting to that, but he felt a strong sense he just needed to stop. Cars kept on going behind, around him, and one other vehicle, a van filled with kids, stopped behind him. But everybody else that he had been traveling with were on that bridge when it collapsed. But he did what he needed to do. He didn't discount what he was experiencing. Now, why God chose him, I suspect there were plenty of others that were Christians that died that day. Maybe he, you know, who knows? But the point being, we learn that it's our responding to God's knocking that makes the difference, not that he's knocking. And we, as our senses are tuned, we are able to distinguish between God's coming to us to minister to us, just to be with us. Sometimes he calls our name, so we'll sit with him just and enjoy his presence. And sometimes he calls our name because we're going into a dangerous situation and he wants to stop us from it, from making a decision, from going someplace he doesn't want us to go, or just to alert us to a situation we need to know about. So sometimes he calls us very quietly and softly. Sometimes he yells at us to get our attention. Now, I heard a well-known minister not too long ago say that God will never yell at you. And that was one of the ways, that was the way he distinguished to determine whether it was God or not. That if the voice was yelling at you, it wasn't God. And I just want to really strongly disagree with that. That I think God is entitled to speak to us any way he chooses. And if he needs to raise his voice, I think that's totally, I mean, what do we think a thundering voice is? You know, his voice is as thunder. What is that? Is that, if not, a raised voice? So it's not being able to categorize his voice or what we see. It's responding to it. God, is that you? What do you want me to do with this? Gosh, it's really that simple, isn't it? We're not going to be able to rely on our own mind, our own understanding, our own thoughts to determine or distinguish what does God mean by this? What am I supposed to do with this? We're only going to be able to ask and wait for him, learn to hear from him, put in the time necessary to learn, to hear his response. Lord, is that you? What do you want me to do with this? Are we done here? Simple questions. He's not making this hard. We are. So when you hear him, when you see things, ask. Simply respond, Lord, is that you? And what do you want me to do with this? And if it's not, this might be, it might be that he allowed you to hear something or see something that was not from him, but that he wants to teach you about. As your senses are quickened, you will see things and have to determine whether you do something about it or not. Like right now, if you're using your eyes and your ears, you're hearing things, and you're hearing, there are ambient sounds, and there are things in your room that you've gotten used to. But as your hearing is tuned and your eyes, your perception is increased, you will see more and more and hear more and more. And you will have to learn to tune out and discern what things to pay attention to and what things not to. And things more and more you will have greater and greater opportunities to exercise authority and responsibility, learning to rule and reign over the things you see and hear. So those are the two senses we've talked about: sight, what we see with our physical eyes, and hearing, what we hear with our physical ears. But there's also taste, touch, and smell. So when God reveals himself to our taste buds, what's that like? Well, here are some examples that I've experienced or I've heard other people have experienced. And it's just the range of what any of us can taste. But it's the Lord making himself perceivable to our taste. Sweet, bitter, metallic, sour, or even sudden thirst. All of a sudden, if you get dry in your mouth, that might be God. And it's not about you being cotton-mouthed or all of a sudden sensing something, tasting something sour or metallic. It's getting your attention. And what you're trying to increase is your awareness, your perception, and your sensitivity that anything going on in your life might be God trying to get your attention. These sensations may or may not be related to what the Lord wants to say to us. I have, on a couple of occasions, had a metallic taste in my mouth. And on one occasion, when I followed up with him, he wanted me to speed up something I was doing. And specifically, these are just examples. They're not rules. They're not, you know, these are just a couple, just to give you an idea. I had one time, not long ago, I had a very bitter taste in my mouth. And what the Lord ended up just wanting me to intercede on behalf of someone, to stand in the gap for them, to be involved in supernatural warfare on their behalf. But there's, next time I have bitterness in my mouth, I'm not going to assume that it's intercession. Or next time I have a metallic taste in my mouth, if I ever do again, I'm not going to assume that it's because he wants me to speed up something I'm working on. We don't make any assumptions whatsoever. And God, really, the way he deals with us, he is so creative. I know of someone who, when the Lord wants to have special time with them, and this is fairly consistent in her life, she tastes her favorite meal. And it's just a drawing. Come away and commune with me. And that, but that's, you know, that's the way God draws her. You know, she doesn't make a big deal out of it. It's just, okay, that's God's way of consistently knocking with her. So for us, there's also touch, feeling a touch. Here are some examples of the Lord making himself perceivable to our physical body. The touch of a hand from the Lord or an angel. Have you ever felt that tap on your shoulder or felt someone brush up against you and then you look and there's no one there? Or even a breeze or a wind where no source is evident, or a temperature change. And you go, where's that coming from? And what we want is our awareness to increase, so it's not, where's that coming from, and then going about our business. It's, what was that? Lord, was that you? That's the difference. And he, nah, it wasn't me, it was just a breeze. Okay, but since I've got your attention, let's talk about this. Or I might just say, you know, nothing's going on. There may even be an abrupt change in the humidity. You may all of a sudden feel, you know, the air get heavy around you, or very light, or even magnetic or electrical. It's, how do you react to it? Whatever the change is. Lord, is that you? And what do I do with it? All these are to draw our attention that the Lord wants to speak to us in some way. If we ask him and he says, yes, it's me. Again, sometimes it's not him. And we'll begin to become more and more, you know, if for instance, if you feel something brush up against you and you ask, Lord, is that you? And he says, no, but maybe it happens again. Lord, if that's not you, what was it? And we start going in that direction. But I've oftentimes felt someone brush up against me when no one's there, when I'm working, and often when I'm driving, which is really an attention getter. When you're alone in the car and you feel someone brushing up against you where you're, you know, there's no room for someone to be. But that happens not too uncommonly for me. And that's the whole point is, okay, he is just increasing our awareness, our openness to him revealing himself at any time in any way he chooses. So there's also smell. Here are some examples of the Lord making himself available, perceivable by scent. Smelling of roses, the scent of roses, or musty or moldy, even incense smelling. I mean, this is one of the reasons those who worship or follow other religions use incense, is because our smell can be such a strong sense that gets our attention. And we'll be picking up there next Thursday. Now we'll be getting back together again this Saturday at 9 a.m. to pick up our series on setting supernatural goals. So increase your awareness for the rest of the week of God making himself known to you on the physical level. If you've got any questions, drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org. Otherwise, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great rest of the week.